So welcome to This Cycling Life. I'm delighted today to be joined by former professional cyclist Tyler Hamilton. I don't think Tyler needs any introduction. He's a Olympic gold medalist, eight-time Tour de France finisher. He has had absolutely a colourful career, and some of that we will talk about tonight. But actually, what we're going to be most focused on is the here and now and also the future, because Tyler's doing some very exciting stuff in his life right now. So Tyler Hamilton, welcome to you. And let's start by perhaps you giving us an update of what's happening in your life right now.
Oh yeah. Well, Jamie, thanks for having me on your show. Yeah, it's a real honor. Yeah. Today I'm here in Missoula, Montana. Yeah, I work for a money manager down in Denver, so I kind of commute back and forth a little bit. Usually I'm down there every like third week or so for the work week. Yeah, that's, you know, working in the finance world is kind of a new career of mine. I've been probably involved with Black Swift for about probably a year and a half. The CIO, the chief investment officer, is Greg Casals, is a big cycling fan, and you know, he reached out to me about a year and a half ago, and look, you know, I'm kind of in a new world. You know, I studied economics back in when I went to University of Colorado back in the early 90s, but I'd spent a lot of time really away from this world, and you know, it's been a lot of fun. Steep learning curve, but it's been great. I took my Series 65 exam back in like February, and you know, that went well, and you know, here I go. And, you know, we're trying to help out lots of people. And certainly my focus has been helping out, you know, the sport of professional cycling. There's certainly a need there.
Let's talk about more about your career in a second. I mean, the thing that struck me, Tyler, of course, is that, you know, I followed you throughout your career, but I never realized that you and I were almost twins, right? Because we're something like 12 days apart in age.
I'm older.
I think you're just a couple of centimeters taller than me. We're about the same weight. So we had lots in common. Of course, the other thing is we'd like to hear from you about is your personal life. So you're working with Black Swift Group. We're going to talk more about that later. What's happening for you personally?
Yeah, I got a great girlfriend in my life. We live together. She's got two children, 6 and 8 years old. They've been a lot of fun. And I was saying to you before we started this interview, I think children make you a better person. You know, you're really got to practice what you preach. And it's been beautiful seeing kind of life through their eyes. And they keep you on your toes, that's for sure. And enjoying just getting outdoors with them. They're big skiers. And
Are they boys or girls? You got
two boys.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. Yeah. And then have you kind of hinted towards a bike yet, or are they doing other kind of stuff?
Well, you know, they're more into the, you know, BMX style jumping and all that, right, which as a roadie, I'm not that good at, but I've been learning a little bit about that, getting some airtime. And their dad, who lives just up the street, is a great guy. He's a really good mountain biker and showing him a lot of good skills. And cool. So yeah, it's been fun. It's been a wild ride, but it's been, an enjoyable one for sure.
And I understand now, Tyler, at Black Swift, I mean, you are working with professional athletes. Is that mostly with cyclists, or are you working with other kind of athletes as well? Because my understanding is what you're doing with them is really helping them either in their current career as athletes to think about their financial future, or even those who are making that transition from being professional into sort of life after professional sports. So can you say a bit more specifically about your role and the kind of people you're working with?
Yeah. I mean, number one, you know, the chief investment officer, Greg Casals, is just a huge cycling fan. And that was really one of the things that really brought me into the company. Number one, incredible person. You know, two, a huge fan of cycling, wants to give back to the sport of cycling, which, you know, as we know, like, there's a need there. And does some amazing things with people's money. So Greg started a fund called the Pro Cyclist Fund. And we donate half of the management fees to the Pro Cyclist Foundation.
Wow.
So, yeah. And so we're really in the infancy stages with the foundation. Yeah, it's been we've had a lot of good input so far. a lot of great feedback, and a lot of people are involved. And, you know, we hope to see this, you know, one day as a really, really strong foundation, helping a lot of cyclists in need. You know, our focus is really on the legal wellness and career development side of things.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't know what I was going to do when my career ended. I had no idea. Yeah. I just figured something would fall into my lap, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
My exit from cycling was a little bit different, you know, but still I wish I'd been, you know, a little bit better prepared,
yeah.
you know, and so we're going to try to help cyclists during their careers, as well as sort of after their careers, and maybe getting them to think and work a little bit on their career after cycling during their cycling career.
Yeah. It's interesting you say that, because, you know, we've had quite a few people on this show. In fact, I interviewed Sven Tuft on another show, great guy. Awesome. And Sven was talking about, you know, the fact, and remember that, man, Sven has had he started relatively late, but, you know, retiring at 43, that's relatively late compared to when many other pro cyclists retire. Many of them, you know, retire in their early or mid 30s.
Sure.
And one of the things that Sven was talking about was this sort of tendency for pros to really focus on the here and now, you know, when they're competing, when they're racing, that in many ways they don't like to invest energy in thinking about that transition or life after cycling. Why do you think that is the case?
I'd agree with him. I definitely agree with him. I didn't want to think about life after pro cycling. You know, it made me uncomfortable. It made me uncomfortable. And sometimes you shy away from the things that make you uncomfortable, for sure. And I think I just made the assumption that, you know, something will fall into my lap, you know, probably that has to do with cycling.
Yeah.
You know, but I didn't really, you know, I didn't focus on it at all. And, you know, shame on me. I should have for sure. Cause, I mean, it certainly was a struggle for a while. You know, I mean, I started a coaching company straight away, and I still have that today. That's been a lot of fun. In terms of doing other things, I was a realtor for a year here in Missoula, Montana, got my real estate license, you know, but that wasn't really quite for me. And, you know, I did a bunch of public speaking, kind of talking about the good, the bad, and the ugly. But it was, I mean, this Greg Casals, the chief investment officer at Black Swift, he approached me. Yeah. And I feel really lucky and fortunate to have, to be in this new role.
And I mean, it's interesting for me, Tyler, it is interesting because I guess, you know, when I reflect upon many of the pro cyclists I've met and actually other pro athletes as well, it seems that, you know, during the career as a pro athlete, you're focusing so much on your skills, you know, developing your physical performance, your tactical nous, you know, even, you know, focusing on nutrition. People invest massively in, you know, the real kind of aerodynamic expertise stuff. They want to get all these gains. And it's interesting what you said that, you know, when you retired, you kind of went into coaching. And I think we see that with a lot of former cyclists, pro cyclists, you know, they go into coaching, or they open a bike shop, or they start doing bike fitting or whatever it might be, because that's their skills.
Yeah.
However, my question would be, and what I tend to see with a lot of pro cyclists, they very quickly realize they might have the skills, but it's not what gives them a sense of, you know, purpose, or it's not really what aligns to even their deeper talents that they have as a person, right? So how did you, in a way, start to work out, you know, because clearly you had all these skills related to your 2 decades as a cyclist, but how did you start working out what your talents were as a person, as opposed to the skills as a cyclist?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, yeah, time. But you're right. I mean, I kind of felt like straight away, just like stayed in the industry, started my own little coaching company, and, you know, I was, I guess, too scared, too nervous to kind of venture outside of the cycling world. But over time, yeah, I realized, I don't know, I have a you know, a lot of knowledge in and out of the cycling world. And, you know, I'm almost 50 years old and, you know,
I know, mate, so am I.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Right. I'm 12 days older than you.
Exactly. I remember. Don't remind me. That's all right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, it took time for me to realize, you know, some of the other, I guess, assets that I had, some of the other strengths that I had. I mean, I love working with people. I love helping people, you know, that's my you know, favorite thing to do is help people. You know, with the coaching, I love helping people. You know, they have, you know, X amount of time to spend on the bike every week. You know, maybe it's 5 hours a week they have to ride their bikes. And we love to help them kind of be more efficient in their training and get stronger. And at the end of the day, be happier.
Yeah. You know, but it's interesting what you're saying. I mean, so, I mean, this is also something which I guess people start to discover. And I guess certainly by the time we're 50, we certainly hope we've kind of worked out what it is that we have a talent for. But it's interesting you say that I guess your passion is essentially seeing other people thrive, right?
Yeah.
Because that's also interesting as a pro athlete, because, I mean, of course, cycling is a team sport, but I guess so much of cycling is about you, right? I mean, your own performance. Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if you're being a real top pro, you got to be really selfish. It sounds bad, but you got to really focus on yourself and all those little details to become stronger. You know, when you're standing, sit down. When you're sitting, try to lie down. You know, always resting, recovery, then training hard, staying focused. Yeah, it's kind of endless. Oh, sorry, Jamie, I'm getting a phone call. So hopefully
that's okay. No worries. I'll wait for you to come back. No problem.
Okay.
Cool.
Sorry, I'm on. This is not my telephone.
Not at all. See if you can bring it back. I can edit that bit out, so no problem at all.
Okay. What were we saying?
So Tyler, another question for me, I guess, because we're talking in a way about the career transition, which is around thinking about not just your skills but your talents. And also one of the things that I heard you talking about in your TED talk actually were values as well, right? Because again, it's interesting when you talk about pro cycling, because one of the discussions I've had. I mean, for example, a guy who's a good friend of mine is Michael Rogers, you know, three-time world-time world champion. But, you know, at his very heart, you know, Michael is an extremely generous person, you know. He's a very giving person, very trusting person. He shares his knowledge, his expertise. And he said almost, you know, that that in some ways, you know, when you're a pro athlete and, like you said, so focused on yourself that you have to suppress your values, some of these things that come. How did you find that? I mean, in your career, because I mean, we don't have to get too deeply, but clearly there were some value conflicts there.
Yeah, there were some big conflicts.
And in some cases, when you find yourself confronting those value conflicts, or maybe not finding yourself in the right environment, you can also suffer from, you know, depression, mental illness, which I understand something you suffered from. Is that something which you also, you know, in your role today, is that something also you've witnessed or you're interested to address? Because this issue of value conflicts, depression, seeking of purpose is quite common, actually. Well, what's your experience with that?
As a pro cyclist, you had to, I certainly, you know, had to put my values to the side at times. And I felt like I was kind of living a second life that really was, I don't know if it was completely me, you know, and I did struggle with it. I had a lot of, I call them like committee meetings, you know, in the middle of the night, you kind of sit there and somewhere between like 2 and 4 in the morning, you sit there for a half hour, 45 minutes and look at the ceiling and kind of think about your values. You know, I thought a lot about what my parents taught me as a kid and you know, I'd kind of skewed away from my values. You know, a lot has changed since then. And I've kind of gotten back to my core values again. I try to share that with other people, especially the younger generations. You know, kids are really, kids are sponges. So, you know, share with them, you know, the lessons you've learned and, you know, being open and honest and truthful, you know, that's going to take you a long ways in life if you focus on that. You know, there's been a lot of, you know, tough days in my past, but I mean, in a way I feel very fortunate today that it's, you know, I've learned all these great lessons and can share them with others, you know, you know, I've made a lot of mistakes, but, you know, fortunately, a lot of people have forgiven me for that and, you know, and trying to be just a good person, you know, moving forward.
And Tyler, for you, I mean, if you think, you know, in the role you have now at Black Swift, I mean, what makes a great day for you? You know, if you rock into the office or you have a day with clients, I mean, what for you would be just an awesome day where you leave thinking, wow, you know, this is what it's about.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, I love helping people. I love talking to people on the telephone or on, you know, on Zoom. Yeah, and you know, getting feedback from existing clients that they're happy with the way, you know, Greg and the investment team are doing, and happy that they're, you know, involved with Black Swift. You know, I get, fortunately, I get a lot of that, and that's great. That makes me feel good for sure. But yeah, working to bring in new clients, bring in new assets, and you know, it's hard. I mean, I'm learning. I mean, I'm still new in this business, and I'm learning a lot, certainly. But it's been fun. You know, I've had a lot of great role models helping me out along the way, and I feel very, very fortunate. Very fortunate. But yeah, I mean, I got a lot of work to do. You know,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I'm excited about it. You know, this is a new industry for me, and so it's and it's fun. I love learning. I love learning.
Yeah. Yeah. And when you think about, obviously, you know, you're working with pro athletes, pro cyclists. One of the topics that, in fact, I spoke about was Svein Taft. I've spoken about with Mick Rogers, yeah. Alan Davis, another former yeah. pro, you know, about the way in which, in many ways, the world of professional cycling is not especially good at supporting athletes for this transition, or even the simple, you could say simple aspect of managing their money. You know, some of these young people are early 20s, mid 20s, and suddenly finding themselves with, you know, hundreds of thousands, if not millions in a contract, and yet not necessarily getting the guidance they should be getting. What do you think perhaps the sport could be doing differently or better than they've done in the past? And here we're talking really about the teams. We're not, you know.
Yeah, I mean, you could, well, I don't know if, you know, I think the teams could do a better job. And I think that really the governing body of the sport could probably do a better job, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the UCI just at maybe helping the athletes with some sort of schooling on how to maybe manage your money the right way. You know, it doesn't last forever, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're at the top of, you know, if you're at the top of the game in professional cyclist and you're, you know, in that elite 5 or 3%, you know, you're doing pretty well financially, but yeah, that doesn't last forever. And like, mm-hmm. there will be a day when you're really, you know, when you're out of cycling and maybe you're starting from ground zero again, you know.
Yeah.
And you have to work your way up the ladder. So, mm-hmm. you know, be prepared for that. I wish I had kind of taken a few steps back and really thought about, you know, the bigger picture. But yeah, you kind of think it's going to last forever, and it certainly doesn't. It certainly yeah. doesn't. So yeah, I think they could do a better job at really, at, you know, financial education, and then also maybe, you know, encouraging riders to, like, you know, maybe do a little schooling in the off season, maybe even doing a little bit of like online schooling during the season.
Right.
You know, yeah. thinking about, you know, what they could do after their career's over.
That's an interesting one, Tyler, because, you know, I've had this conversation with some current and recently retired pro athletes, and, you know, they're always saying to me, oh yes, but, you know, I have to be so focused on my training, I have to be so focused on the program. But then you look at these guys and you see them on the team bus, and what are they doing? They're like playing their PlayStation, or they're, you know, on their yeah. mobile phones watching YouTube videos and stuff. So,
yeah,
you know, it seems to me actually that I just wonder that, again, maybe it's, I don't know what it is with the sport, but if we actually think about many pro cyclists, they have an awful lot of free time and downtime. It's interesting what you're saying is, well, you know, how about using some of that downtime, some of that free time for developing or improving yourself?
Either developing a new skill or working on an existing skill that you have outside of the sport and kind of working on that, getting a little bit better. I mean, I still type like this, like a chicken.
Right.
Yeah. Right. So I'm working, you know, I got plenty of things to learn. So, but you know,
Yeah. Now, I'll be sure. It's interesting. We have another interview. Actually, we had a couple of interesting interviews with athletes who are doing it very differently. One of those is Maeve Plouffe, who's one of the top Australian female cyclists right now, and she's incredible, right? Because, I mean, she's racing the program, you know, world championship level, Olympics. She's studying at university at the same time, getting a master's degree. You know, awesome. So. It's interesting how we do see people who are out there who seem to be switched on in terms of juggling, you know, juggling these competing priorities.
Good for her. We could learn from her for sure.
Maybe, well,
that's great.
Recommend people to watch that video. I'll put a link to it at the end of this one. But
what's her name again?
Maeve Plouffe, I think, and I probably pronounced her surname wrong. But she was interviewed by Alan Davis, and it was terrific interview for everyone to have a look at. The other thing, of course, is that, you know, for many pros, and I think we're going to see that next year, or we're already seeing it this year, that for many of them, the end comes much more suddenly than they expect, right? Because suddenly the contract is not renewed. And I guess nobody understands that better than you do, because, you know, in a way, you know, with what happened to you in 2009, that must have been a massive shock. I mean, can you remember what that felt like? I mean, of course, not just the shock of the controversy surrounding what happened, but just to be thrown into the unknown like that. What went through you as in terms of the experience?
Yeah. But first and foremost, most athletes finish their careers, like, you know, not on their terms, right? Yeah. I mean, it's like maybe they want one more year or one final 2-year contract or something. And most of the time it doesn't end as exactly the way they see it. For me personally, my career ended abruptly, I was scared. I didn't know what I was going to do. I flailed around for a while. I mean, I did start this coaching business straight away, and that's been great. I love it. It's been a lot of, I mean, I have one employee, Jim Capra, who's been just awesome. And, but yeah, I wasn't ready. I flailed around for a while, for sure. I wish I could have gone back and done it all over again. Obviously, I would have done a lot of things differently. Mm-hmm. And certainly one would be, you know, working on, you know, on some of my skill sets or working on a new skill set outside of the, you know, cycling industry, for sure.
And where, Tyler, I mean, I'm curious. I mean, it sounds like now with what you are doing with Black Swift Group, I mean, it's interesting for me because obviously you have this opportunity to develop your talents, because you talked about caring about other people, loving to see other people thrive, bringing your experience to bear, of course, because, I mean, I guess you're quite special in that you have experienced so much of what your clients are going through or are likely to go through in the future. So it seems that that's a unique, special fit for you. But where do you see yourself in, I don't know, 2-3 years from now? I mean, what would be a great life, you know, for Tyler Hamilton 3 years from now?
Oh, man. Well, you know, I certainly love Missoula, Montana, where I am now. That's been just fantastic. I've been here for about 8 years. I love getting outdoors, and I love bike. You know, my new sport within cycling is bike pack, or my new focus in cycling is bike packing.
Yeah,
I don't know if you. Okay. Yeah, it's kind of the opposite of bike racing, but I've really enjoyed that. You know, doing more of that, traveling around the world. It's a great way to see the world, for sure. Doing more of that, you know, being 5 years into Black Swift, you know, more experience. You know, now I'm still pretty green at it, and you know, just feeling a little bit more comfortable in my shoes there. You know, helping more people. Raising a lot of money for the Pro Cyclists Foundation, helping more pro athletes, pro cyclists. And you know, there's a lot of cyclists in need, especially right now. And so, you know, giving back to the cycling community, it's, you know, cycling gave me a lot, and, you know, I really appreciate what it did for me. And, you know, it's a beautiful, beautiful sport.
Well, mate, I'm very glad that you didn't say making a cycling comeback to race the UCI Gran Fondo Masters level, because you and I would be in the same age group classification, and I really don't want that. All right,
watch out, Jamie. Watch out. I might be.
You just stick with the bike packing, Tyler Hamilton. All right, you leave the +50 cycling competition to the rest of us. You know,
I don't think I've done an interval since 2009.
Oh, that's
I see you ride the indoor trainer a lot. I think the last time I rode the indoor trainer was 2009.
All right, good, good. Then I'll sleep easy. I'll sleep easy. That's good to hear. Good. Okay. I mean, and Tyler, I mean, it'd be very interesting just to finish up. I mean, if you were sitting opposite, you know, if you were sitting opposite a, I don't know, 26, 27 year old, you know, a young professional cyclist, performing at a high level, at the, you know, the World Tour, what would be your advice, you know, to that young man or woman about preparing themselves? What would be the three or four pieces of advice you would give them to be ready for that transition, which might be 3 years down the line, might be 10 years down the line, but what would you be saying to them?
I mean, I'd say number one, just start thinking about it, right? Even when you're 27, 28 years old, even 26 years old, like, you know, your career could, you could only be 2 years away. You could be 4 or 6 years away from your, you know, from the end of your career. So start thinking about it. That's the first thing. And, you know, eventually start working on that, on like I said before, on a, either an existing skill set that you have, you know, that a passion of yours, or maybe start developing a new skill set. And so start that process because it ends very quickly. You know, like learn from my mistakes, you know, certainly, you know, I wasn't ready for that. And I know there are a lot of others that weren't really ready for that. And most of the time it's not going to be your team or, you know, or the UCI telling you like, learn something else, get ready for your career after cycling. But so it's going to have to come from within, you know? So, yeah, it's something I'd recommend. And, you know, hopefully people will be better off because of that. Yeah.
Terrific. Okay. Tyler Hamilton, I'd like to thank you so much for your time, for your openness, your honesty, and most importantly, I think some very, very practical advice for people to follow. We certainly at TCL, we wish you every success with your career at Black Swift. I mean, you're turning 50. So yeah, you know, the new chapter is beginning for us, Tyler. You know, the new chapter is beginning. So I'm sure that next decade of your life will be special and exciting. And it's really terrific to see you.
Thank you, Jamie. But hey, real quick, back to like the, you know, all these pro cyclists, you know, that are, you know, in the middle of their careers, like, and know what they're going to do after their careers. Like, don't forget, like, all pro cyclists, we know for number one, they're hard workers, right? So if you're a hard worker, you can, you know, if and they have an amazing ability to stay focused. So like, those are huge assets. So like, you know, if you can channel that in the right direction, you know, you have a bright future ahead for sure. But so Jamie, good luck. I think you have a race tonight, don't you?
Well, actually, yes. I mean, Tyler, I'm racing up the Mortirolo tonight Lombardia. I'm doing a Pedal Italy event. I don't know if so Pedal Italy worked together with Ruvi. And it's an amazing platform, actually, because, you know, many of these virtual cycling worlds are like cartoons, right?
Yeah, right.
You know, you're racing around in sort of a weird cartoon world. Pedal Italy, they're working together with a company called Ruvia. And what Ruvi does is actually they produce real video, immersive video footage.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, rather than racing up some simulated mountain, you really are on the roads of the Mortirolo tonight. And of course, the peloton is there, the competing riders are there. Now, they are they're avatars, but actually very realistic. But the scenery itself is there. So I'm not sure I'll be doing the climb as fast as you did, Tyler, but I'll certainly do my best.
Well, you're looking pretty good. I've seen some of your stuff on LinkedIn there, and you're looking like you're really strong and you've been working hard and good luck tonight. Yeah.
Thank you very much. You know, Tyler, as my friend Michael Rogers says, you know, when we talk about little guys like us, we have less wind to push, you know, that's always an advantage. So that's, you're a great time trialist and you're a small guy and you went fast up mountains. So, you know, it all helps. But thanks again for your time, Tyler. It's been great. We'd love to have you on the show again. I'm sure there's many more things we can talk about. For everyone who's been watching, of course, please do give us the thumbs up if you've enjoyed this video. And of course, please do subscribe to the This Cycling Life YouTube channel. So Tyler Hamilton, thank you very much again for joining us.
Thanks, Jamie. Keep up the good work.